What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
So, what's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am not drunk yet, but I'm working on it. We got a party at Scott's house after the recording. And in preparation for that, we're having a podcast recording. I am drinking Tiki Rum Mai Tais. Look at that. Can you see it?
It must be the same color as your background. Oh, there it is. There you go.
Tiki Rum Mai Tais. But they're not good by themselves, so I have to, of course, add my cran mango juice to them.
I thought you were going to say you needed to add rum to it.
No, they're strong. And it's 12% ABV. For one can, so I'll be ripe by the end of the show. Welcome to the show, Jason. What's your number?
I'll go with a 3. I got a pork butt on the smoker. Been had it on at 8:30 this morning. Had a bourbon drink. Then I took the pork off to wrap it, and now I've got
a whiskey drink, a cider drink,
a little monster, monster and vodka.
Dr. Monster.
Not quite Dr. Monster, but I have both, so I could, if I go make another drink, I could do a Dr. Monster.
Very good. All right, James, welcome to the show. What's your number coming from the UK?
Yeah, probably the same as Jason, 3. It's a bit later in the day here, so I've probably been drinking a little bit longer. On the beer, I had a delivery of beer this morning through the post, all from Holland and Belgium, so it's all really strong. And the one I'm drinking now is a New England IPA made in Holland, and it's 6.6 ABV.
Why is a New England IPA funny to you, Jason?
Because it's New England IPA from Holland.
From Holland. Being drunk in England.
Being drunk in England.
Yes, in old England.
International. Yep. So, Scott, welcome to the show. Welcome back. What's your number?
I do not have a number as of yet. I am drinking a little Michelob Ultra right now. And I'll be continuing to drink that and
for the next 12 hours.
Good, yeah, pretty much. Hoping this rain stays away.
It will. Yeah, we're facing a bit of a – is it a hurricane? Is it a tropical storm?
It is a hurricane officially. Hannah, I want to say, is its name.
Okay.
But it's hitting Houston, but we're getting some bands from it over in Louisiana.
We get a few little waves here.
Somehow we've been able to avoid a lot of the heavy rain today, but you know, we had a lot of rain yesterday. Not much today, just a few drizzles.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of drizzles, the Saints training camp started. I guess we'll start with Saints since we're predominantly a Saints podcast, even though Jason's wearing a Pelicans hat. James is wearing a Pelicans shirt. I'm wearing a Pelicans shirt. And Scott has a Saints hat. Good for you, Scott.
Are you a Who Dat? Are you a Who Dat fan? If you're a Who Dat, clap your hands for the Saints. Scream and shout. Let me hear you singing. Go, Saints, go.
Let's talk about Saints training camp opening and really the kind of bigger picture being the NFL and the NFLPA coming to an agreement on some safety issues around COVID-19, which led to their ability to start training camp on time. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they've really announced exactly if anything's different than before. No, they're planning on testing every day for the first 2 weeks. I don't know what else. Has anybody heard anything?
Yeah, a few things have leaked out. So, like, depending on, you know, if you get COVID, you can go on a certain injury list. There are rules now. So, like, players can't go to, like, an indoor club. An indoor restaurant, other than if they get food to take out. You know, there are certain rules in place where if they violate these rules, they can be punished. You know, these things they try to put in place to limit the spread since there's no bubble in football, you know. They're trying to make sure nobody goes somewhere, gets it, brings it back to the team, and infects 30 guys. So there are going to be certain rules in place. A lot of the discussions were on what's the cap going to be like. You know, this year it's unchanged, but next year they set a floor of $175 million. So the cap next year could be $175 million. Now, they said if if they make more money this year than expected, it could be higher than that. But there is a chance that, depending on what happens with fans and stands, you're looking at a $25 million drop in the cap the next year, when every year it's gone up about $10 million the last few years.
All right, but for players who opt out of participating, so that I don't want to play, like the guy from Kansas City.
Yeah, the guy from Kansas City. So he opted out, he gets $150,000, but he's not...
Because it's voluntary, right?
Right, right.
Who gets who gets like $350,000?
No, the player gets $150,000, but he does not get his regular salary. So he was scheduled to earn like
2.7.
Yeah, right.
He was $7 million down to $150,000.
Right, yeah, he doesn't get that.
Wow. So what is a high risk candidate will receive $350,000 stipend and their contract will toll?
I don't know. What that means. Maybe an older guy? I mean, I don't know.
High risk candidate. So Drew Brees, if Drew Brees opted out,
well, I wonder. You know, the high risk candidates could be all these offensive linemen with their BMIs of like 20 and 30. Oh. Like, you know, there.
Here it is. I tell you what it is. The CDC defines high risk categories as moderate to severe asthma, sickle cell disease, type 2 diabetes. Those are covered under the high risk deal, with the exception of having a high BMI. So all of us would not qualify for the even though we have high BMIs. Unless you got diabetes. Anybody with diabetes?
I don't have the diabetes.
All right. Well, then you get 150.
Jay Cutler would qualify if he was still playing.
I've just got visions of cornerbacks piling on the pounds now through the rest of the training camp.
if they get
COVID, they get more money. Marshawn Lattimore at £350.
Anything? If anybody had diabetes, I think it would be Kamara for beating all the airheads.
Yep. Or me for just being overweight. All your linemen are high risk.
Right. But I mean, I guess the big thing is, you know, that it's training camp will start as scheduled next week. You know, I saw Tommy Stevens had a post on Twitter that he's finally moving into his new city either tomorrow or Monday. So sounds like training camp across the board is going to start on time this week.
Yeah, what, the 28th? Well, when do rookies report?
Monday.
Well, I thought everybody reported the 28th. Is that?
Is it Tuesday, is it then? 28th is Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah.
Is that everybody or is that just the rookies?
I think it's the rookies first, isn't it? And then the vets are on
usually
Thursday.
That's the case, but I thought technically the rookies under the old plan would have reported. Would they not have reported like yesterday? Or...
Yeah, I thought like the 24th or 20th.
But I mean, with the negotiations still going on, nothing really happened. Other than, you know, Kansas City and Houston, because they're the first game. I think they're allowed to report a little earlier than everybody else.
Yeah, because they have the Thursday game.
But yeah, I mean, as of, you know, it looks like here we go, man. I mean, you know, it's weird with everything going on. And usually the last few years with me kind of when the offseason hits, I'm like, my brain's not on the Saints. And then COVID is like, okay, we'll see what happens. But now, I mean, here we are. Like, training camp is this week. Like, shit. It's here.
I really think it's going to be hard. You know, we do our show usually right before the season starts where we make predictions for our record. And I think we've made them maybe in the past.
Do that between that, yeah, right, the episode before week one. I mean.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be difficult to accurately do it this year just because, not that we were ever really accurate to begin with, but, well, James.
Some people were. Right.
Let me check the record.
Right. James has been fairly accurate in his predictions over there.
Last year, James and Ash both predicted 13-3.
That's because they're in the UK and they are in the future.
Ah,
you're on to me.
Yes.
Do you want to know the lottery numbers?
Not Dr. Yes. Monster, Dr. Who.
So I mean, now you're talking about, you know, the first game where they're actually hitting people is going to be Tampa Bay. Let's go, you know, kind of thing. So especially at the beginning of the season,
well,
it's going to be hard to predict.
Do the slow ramp up. And because you don't have your preseason games, they're allowed to do these slow ramp ups. And because you're only allowed 80 people in the building at any time, they're going to probably have to play in shifts, or not play, but practice in shifts. So you might have your veterans, so your rookie. I don't know how they're going to do it, but your first few weeks of training camp are going to be this, like, passing. because they're going to be socially distant. They can't be any closer than 6 feet. No handoffs, no tackling. It's
like football.
Pitches and passes.
Full contact. I mean, hitting your own players in training camp isn't the same. You're not really going hard full speed as you are would be in a game.
That's right. That's going to be the impact of the no preseason. One will have any game speed experience.
And you know, if you look at the past few seasons, you know, because of the new rules since the 2011, that lockout and that new CBA where they limited practice time, usually the first few weeks of the regular NFL season were very sloppy, you know, because you weren't having more practices, you weren't having 2 days, that kind of thing. And now with even zero preseason games, I mean, you may go a month where like, man, this is bad football, but it's football and everybody's going to watch it. But it's, I think that's going to linger a little longer, which in essence should be an advantage to a team like the Saints who have a ton of continuity. You know, I mean, they're not looking to bring in a bunch of new players. I mean, we've only got four draft picks. The Saints appear to be a team that will benefit just because there's so much continuity there. And I do think that that is a benefit of getting to play Tampa in week 1. They're bringing in a whole new quarterback, a new tight end, possibly a new offense. We should have a distinct advantage in week 1 against Tampa.
To mention that historically, any quarterback's first year under Bruce Arians' scheme struggles. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now Tom Brady might be the guy who breaks that trend.
Yeah,
but
like, who are those quarterbacks? Like, it's almost like you'd have to go back and look and
Jameis Winston, the next the next second greatest player of all time. What are you talking about?
In Saints history.
Right.
Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. Peyton Manning was one. Andrew
Aren't
Luck
they rookies,
one.
Though?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, Tom Brady and a rookie.
Manning,
Tom Brady
Luck.
And a rookie. Tom Brady.
But yeah. they also
in Arizona.
But they were also in better physical condition than a 43-year-old Tom Brady.
Peyton Manning? I don't think Peyton Manning's ever been in good physical condition.
I mean, when he was 22 years old, sure.
Just because he's not fast, Scott, doesn't mean he's not in good physical condition.
I wonder how much the Tampa offense will be the same. I doubt it's that's the way I'm trying to go. I wonder whether Bruce Arians is changing his playbook to play to Brady's strengths.
Well, if you're a coach, okay, and you have a 43 year old Tom Brady, and what is your style is chuck it downfield, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you can if you're a good coach, you have to adjust. Am I right? I mean, you have to adjust. Now, so the question is, is Arian's ego? And let's just hope as a Saints fan, let's hope he has a big ego. And he's like, you're going to play my ball. You're not playing Brady ball. And then that'll bode well for us.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm not concerned by Tampa Bay at all.
I like the way you think because the more we think about it, this whole Brady and Gronk thing in Tampa has to be more about what they thought was going to be ticket sales than it was going to be winning games. You know what I mean? It was like, let's just get these guys in here, sell some tickets for 2021 and while we wait and see what we're going to do. I mean, it's just a poorly run organization.
Yeah, I don't see Brady and Gronkowski turning them from what they were into being a team capable of challenging for the NFC South. I mean, what was their record last year? Was it 6-10? 5-11? I can't remember what it was. Those two players aren't going to turn that team into 11-5, 12-4 to challenge.
They were 7-9.
Spoiler alert for my prediction for the season there, but you know they're not gonna be up there with the same record that we've got. Now, you know, we've got a tough schedule this year, but I'm feeling bullish and pretty confident about where we are and where we're going.
Who was the quarterback in Tampa when Tony Dungy was quarterback and they actually turned their stuff around when they first changed the uniforms and the late 90s? Remember?
Testaverde.
Was it Testaverde?
I don't know if he might have been out of there. He might have been New York by then.
But they did that on the backs of a defense, not an offense, right?
That was like Mike Allstott.
Yeah.
When was Gruden it Brett, was coach?
John, was it Brad?
It was before Brad Gruden. Johnson. Dungy was the coach. It was before Dungy went to Indianapolis.
Let's see.
He was the one that turned the team around from the Orange Sickle embarrassments to
they got Warwick done.
Yeah. I'm just trying to wonder if that's kind of a concept that they're trying to reclaim, you know, kind of a rebrand with Brady. But again, it's a 1 year. They're hiring a mercenary.
Yeah, it's like they're buying the myth more than they are anything.
They
else.
got is what happened, which is great for us. I'm more concerned about Carolina.
All right, so Testaverde was there from 87 to 92.
Trent Brad, Dilfer?
No. Brad Johnson was 2001 to 2004. Maybe Dilfer might have been in there after Testaverde.
I think it might have been Testaverde. I think it was Testaverde.
Testaverde left in 92.
Never mind. It was not Testaverde.
Think about Tampa?
Yeah, remember when they changed to the...
Yeah,
the,
Dilfer was 95 to 98.
It was 99. Dilfer. And then you had Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson was 2001. Right.
Jason, who was the quarterback when they actually changed over to being a playoff contender? The first was, in the late 90s.
Well, I think Dilfer. It was Dilfer, but they weren't I don't know that they were a playoff contender with
Dilfer. They were
Dilfer.
In the playoffs. They were with Tony Dungy. Warren Sapp was new to
okay.
the team,
then it probably was still Dilfer. I guess Brad Johnson, eventually they got him, and that's who they that's
Johnson
who won the Super
was
Bowl with them.
In 2001. Okay.
So, yeah, Dilfer, probably when they started getting good, it had to be Dilfer.
Okay. Dilfer was 95 to 99.
All right, well, we're spending too much time on Tampa Bay.
Well, yeah. You remember that 1 year with Sean King?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually do. All right, so.
Before you move on, I do want to give an update. So, I ran out of Monster to mix with my vodka. So, I still had a half a cup of Monster and some vodka, and then I added some Red Bull, so.
The happy haunts have received your sympathetic vibrations and are beginning to materialize. They're assembling for a swinging wake. And they'll be expecting me. I'll see you all a little later.
Dr. Foster! I love that this is a thing now.
It's here. Oh, just wait till I edit.
All right. Okay. Where did we just trail off into a hole on Tampa Bay? Expectations for the Saints. You're talking about the roster being primed in that because we have so many guys returning that it bodes well for us in this COVID-19 year. The other thing about our roster is I don't think I'm making a bold statement here, but the Saints must have the most impressive roster in the NFL right now. I mean, granted, we don't know how it's going to play out, but on paper, entering the season, I mean, when you look at
just NFC, or are we talking?
No. We're
name
talking
another
the whole
team that
the whole
has a better
league.
Roster. Name a team that has a
Kansas
better
City.
Looking roster.
Kansas
than
City.
The
they just lost their starting right guard.
Boom.
So the Saints have top 10. Players,
you guys,
at
right.
every position. At
you
every
guys talked about it on this week's Donkey Bite.
Yeah, top 10 players at every position. In some cases, top 5 players at every position.
I mean, you think if you could list 15 players before you even get to people like Janoris Jenkins, who I know some people may be like, that ain't impressive, or Malcolm Jenkins, or Sheldon Rankins. Or
15 players?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Yeah, you name 15 players ahead of them, and they're good on most rosters.
Go.
All right, you want to do it? Let's see.
Breeze. Oh,
let's
here
go.
We go.
Right, I'm counting. Go on then,
I'm
yeah.
not doing it. We're doing it together.
Okay. Breeze. Kamara.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Kamara. Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders. Oh,
Cam
yeah.
Jordan.
Cam Jordan.
That's 5.
Last of DeMario
Ryan
Davis.
Amcheck.
Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead.
Teron.
Jared Cook.
Yep, nine. Cook.
We're at 10, by the way. Scott,
right.
We're at 10.
No, we're at 9.
We're at 9.
Okay, David Onyemata.
Don't know. He's slower. He's not there yet.
Marcus Williams.
DeMario Davis.
I'll give you DeMario Davis. That's 10.
Lattimore.
We said Lattimore.
Jason didn't.
Will
Lutz. Lutz and Morstead.
Morstead. See, you forgot about the specialists. We got the two best specialists.
You still got three more.
Deontay Harris.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. Well, he was all pro kick returner. I mean, he made the Pro Bowl as a kick returner. How could you not have him on there?
All right. I'll give you Deontay Harris. You still
got
two more.
He's the best kick returner in the league. All right. Hey, we're going to welcome Ray.
You didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Welcome, Dave, to the show. Dave Romero, welcome to the Dome Patrol United podcast family.
How'd you get all high tech? I got to figure this out.
Are you working on a Marvel movie? You got your green screen behind you?
Oh, I can do all kind of fancy things. Y'all don't even know. But
he is Dr. Monster.
Has done it, and so I need to figure out how to get this working with Zoom we're doing here.
Yeah, it's a virtual background. So I see you got the green screen up.
He's got it set up.
I do all kinds of stuff. I just don't know how to. I don't use Zoom, so I don't know how to.
All right. So what we were doing, Dave? First of all, welcome to the show. What is your number on a scale from 1 to 10? If you've been drinking?
No, man, I'm actually doing work. I mean, you guys. I'm reading the text messages. You guys are drinking from like. I don't know. I'm still confused about the time. Somehow or another, y'all drinking tomorrow morning. It's very confusing.
James is drinking tomorrow morning. All right, so you're sober, which is good. You'll be the babysitter. You'll keep us honest. All right, so what we're doing is we're trying to name 15. Right, so my point is the Saints have arguably the best roster on paper entering the season out of the entire league, and that you can name 15 people who you would take over in their position over anybody else on any other team. You got to the likes of Janoris Jenkins, Malcolm Jenkins, Sheldon Rankins, C.J. Gardner-Johnson,
I guess the one caveat, you know, you wouldn't take necessarily on every team. I mean, I'm sure people would take Patrick Mahomes over Breeze, but like, you know, you would take over a majority of NFL rosters.
Yeah.
You may have a couple of stragglers here and there, but for the most part, you would take them as a starter.
We've actually hit the 15. We had 13, and then James said Taysom Hill, and that takes two. That takes two spots. Actually, that probably takes more than two. That's like quarterback, wide receiver, running back.
That's true.
Punt blocker.
So, wait, Breeze, Michael Thomas, Kamara, Jordan.
Mario
who
Davis.
Else did we say? Davis.
Demario Davis, Lattimore, Ramchek.
Armstead. Lutz.
Lutz, Morstead.
So that's
Deontay
10.
Harris as a Lutz, as a
Deontay
kick returner.
Harris.
Deontay Harris.
That's 11.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Jared
10,
Cook.
11. Yeah, Jared Cook. Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders. And then Taysom Hill takes up two spots.
I'm gonna put Taysom Hill on there. Taysom Hill.
That's 14.
I'd put Jameis Winston on there too. To be honest with you.
I mean, as a backup quarterback, he's probably the best backup, right?
Is that cheating, though? Think of another starter. Let's see. What are the linebackers?
Marcus Williams. I told you, Marcus Williams.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Marcus Williams. I'm sorry. He makes too many boneheaded decisions.
Well, he has some issues, but he also covers from the cornerbacks kind of, you know, like they kind of leave him on the island back there. It's not always his fault.
I'm kidding about P-Rob.
Can you count Sean Payton?
Ah.
Is that like a BBC background?
That BBC News.
That's what it looks like.
He's on the right time strain. Yes.
He's in the future with me.
So you would say Marcus Williams?
Yeah, he's in the top 10 safeties in the NFL easily.
All right. What about Davenport?
No, he hadn't proven it. But you could argue, like, Onyemata. I mean, I really think you could stick him there.
All right. Well, he could be 16. So, look, when you're making a list and Onyemata is number 16 on your team, and you haven't even talked about Malcolm Jenkins yet, or Janoris Jink, any of the Jinkins,
or even really. Or even
Jinkatown Posse.
I mean, like even we don't know what
GTP.
I mean, we have GTP. I mean, we have McCoy, who played very great as a center next year. More than likely, he's going to move to guard. Oh, and then you got Ruiz right. coming in as a center. Like, granted, don't he's a rookie. McCoy. We don't know, but
– yeah, you can't put Ruiz on the
but
list.
But, yeah, I mean, odds are if you draft a center in the first round, he's probably going to be pretty damn good. We just don't have any proof.
We haven't mentioned Chauncey Gardner-Johnson either.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the rules of the game were that you couldn't mention those guys. And can you fill 15 – spots on the list before you even get to those guys who most teams would love to have.
Traquan!
So we've got to 20 then. Some Traquan. Got to 20.
I mean, you've got the potential to, you know, I mean, it does make, you know, and you've got the coach quarterback that have been there for 15 years. I mean, like we said, that continuity in this crazy offseason is going to go a long way to the Saints season this year.
Right. That's the thing to be excited about. And now where will they be playing? Are all the different – all teams are able to make their own rules regarding attendance? Is that how this is working?
It does kind of seem like different teams have said different things. The only thing the Saints have officially come out with and said is that preseason's canceled. But they haven't said what they anticipate for any kind of home crowd. But then, you know, the mayor could fucking say some bullshit like this week.
Like no to-go drinks anymore?
No to-go drinks. She's ready to crush the New Orleans economy.
Why would you stop to-go drinks? What does that have anything to do with COVID-19? That's the only way you should sell drinks is to-go right now.
I mean, because they're still doing to-go food orders. Like, hey, if you want to go get a to-go order and grab a drink to-go, that's fine. The only thing I can think of is that in terms of Bourbon Street, because – it might encourage you wandering Bourbon Street, but then, okay, just limit it to...
out in the open where you're not breathing on people? Right. Yeah.
Just limit it to Bourbon Street. Like, if I want to go to...
The Bourbon Street has enough alcohol spread all over it that it's sanitized all the way through. Also, or you can go the other direction, that if you do walk down Bourbon Street, your immune system is already compromised or strong enough to where you're not going to get COVID because of all the things you're going to encounter on Bourbon Street. Either way, she's making a rule based on Bourbon Street, really?
I'm just trying to think of why she would even come out and say that because it doesn't make –
she's an incompetent mayor?
Well, she definitely is that, but okay. I mean, I don't know.
She's not able to make good decisions. All right, anyway. Masks required at all games. Yep. So you have to wear your mask to get to your seat.
Yep, they probably get in. I'm wondering if they're going to do temperature checks as well. I have to assume that's going to be part of it.
Why not? I mean, it's – even though that's whatever. But my question on the masks, Scott, you asked it actually, I think, before we were recording, is when you buy your beer, are you going to have one of those masks that is like you could drink through the mask or –
No, I'm going to pull down. I'm also assuming that, like, I bought the gaiters, the neck things. I got Pelicans and Saints because I figured out. I'm assuming that they're going to allow that now. Like Disney World and the theme parks, you have to have a legit like fucking mask. You can't use a gate. They call it a gaiter. You can't go in there with that. But I'm wondering if
you can't
for sports
use
purposes. Not in the theme parks. No, you need a real mask.
Huh.
But I'm wondering if that'll be different for sporting events. I mean, I don't know.
You probably have to buy the gators inside the theme parks at Disney. Then they'll let you wear them.
But I mean, again, like they haven't really said, you know, they haven't come out with anything because I think they're still in a wait and see. We're like, hey, maybe the cases will go down and we can allow, you know, because they clearly want the Saints and other teams in general, but the Saints definitely want fans in the stands. So I think they're waiting till the last minute before they have to actually announce something. Because otherwise you would think they would announce something already, and they haven't.
So they haven't said if fans are going to be allowed in the dome yet then?
Nope, haven't said anything. Now, supposedly some people got emails saying if they want to refund their tickets and keep access, they can. I haven't received that email, but I also completed a survey that said I'm just going to keep my money on file and just whatever I can get to this year I can get to. Otherwise, we'll go forward. But there hasn't been any, you know, they're kind of, it seems like they're just dragging their feet, waiting until they kind of have to make a decision. So as of now, I have no idea how many games I may get to.
You're going to get a scenario, though, aren't you, where some teams are going to be able to have fans and some aren't, by the sounds of it?
Yeah, because every state's, you know, there's no national consensus. Like, every state kind of is doing their own thing.
I think, Scott, me and you talked about this last week. Does that not affect the competitive nature? Does that not give an unfair advantage to teams who have fans against teams who don't?
Home field advantage.
So exactly. I say we just let them in. You know, enter at your own risk. How about that?
Well, and I think that's what you might see, but then it's like, okay, even if I sign a waiver saying I'm going to come in, I mean, people are still going to try to fucking sue them if they get the virus. I mean, that's just the way Americans
sign a waiver, you know? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to make the obvious joke about fans and lack of fans in stadiums, but it's not going to affect the Falcons, is it? It's not.
No. The Falcons might be a team to worry about because they have the most experience playing in front of empty stadiums.
Or the Chargers.
Yeah. Well, the Chargers moved, didn't they? So they're officially.
No, I don't think that stadium's open yet. The LA Stadium. I think they got one more year, right?
No. They're going to be in it this year.
Oh, really?
The Saints were opening it in preseason where they were supposed to be playing the Rams.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
That's it. They're out. So speaking of the Falcons, Todd Gurley talked about maybe not playing this season because his knees are made of biscuits.
What is a biscuit?
James?
Look, it's a saying over here.
European comments.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. Definitely. So for those who aren't in the know, is a saying in the UK when somebody is injury prone that their body is made of biscuits. Now, biscuits are not what you think biscuits are. These are apparently what you call cookies. Okay. So the junior, if he'd have said he's made of cookies, there we go. So that would have been the better way.
He's made
to
of
do
stale,
it.
Crumbly cookies, not the soft bakes.
No,
the ones that fall. You know what he's made of? The Nature's Valley granola bars.
Granola bars that crumble into everything.
Yes.
That's what his knees are made of, that.
But he's going to blame it on COVID. Well, now, again, as a Saints fan, I hope he sits out. I mean, I don't even want to take the risk of having to face him if he's, you know, well, that's going to be like the one game that he has a good game.
So, but here's the thing. Apparently, players have, I think, a week to determine whether or not they want to opt out or not. I think that's part of the new agreement where you saw the Kansas City guard, like, yeah, he's out. But I'm anxious to see how many players will actually opt out. I mean, it's hard for me to say they're going to pass up on receiving, like, a real game check, especially considering the cap's going to go down next year.
It's going to depend on their own financial situation. I mean, if you're financially responsible, you could opt out and take your 150 and survive. But some players burn probably still, even if they're making $2 million a year, are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're not so you're about to find out who's financially responsible and who's not.
Do you think anybody on the Saints is going to opt out?
Like we said, the only thing would be Malcolm Jenkins, maybe.
But I don't think Malcolm Jenkins would opt out for COVID reasons. I think he would opt out because he just takes it as a way to go focus on his TV career.
Well, and for the movement, you know.
Well, either way, TV career.
But I just think, especially like we talked about, this Saints roster is so loaded. I think they realize, hey, man, if we can get a season in, like this is – like let's go all in. Now, do you think that a guy like Kamara – could opt out because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year? He's not getting paid a lot.
I don't think he would because I think he's a competitor. I think it's in his – like he's like a Drew Brees. Like, I'm not fucking taking a – excuse my language. I'm not taking a year off. So I'm trying to be a little less cursy because in case Dave gets us on the radio.
Be more aware of it. Here's the other thing about Kamara. I mean, does he have enough currency in the bank after the year that he that's the wrong way to say it after what you guys were talking about. Does he have enough
or the exact
NFL
right way to
currency
say it
after a pretty average year last year to just say, you know what, I'm sitting out and thinking he's going to come back to a big contract?
Yep. Right. I agree with that. Unless, right, again, he can be like a Brady and sell the – you're buying the – the legend of Chimera. You know what I mean? Right. You're buying what you expect from Chimera, not what he did.
And there's nothing to say that people won't say, look, he obviously had an off year, because prior to that, he was an outstanding player, a difference maker. Last year is the one year that he didn't perform to the same level. So you can say it's an outlier. But what you don't know is this a sign that he's not as durable, because last year was the first year where he got more of a workload?
Right. Is he made of Nature's Valley granola bars?
Is that a biscuit?
Yeah. It's what we've all agreed to use instead of biscuits.
The amount of work he's put in the off-season, I think he's going to play.
Oh, yeah.
You've all seen the videos and the pictures of, yep. You know, I don't think he's done that to then suddenly to say, oh, I'm going to sit out.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably, he beefed up probably to make sure that he's not made of biscuits.
Well, and the one thing, you know, look at what – I'm sure he sees what Christian McCaffrey did last year and the contract that McCaffrey got this year. He's like, I'm just as good as him. Let me go do that.
Yeah.
And he knows Peyton, even though we have Latavius Murray
present
right here, he knows he's not going to use him like we should.
He presents himself, which actually he's supposed to. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So – Kamara definitely plays.
But I mean,
the fact that he's getting bigger means he's going to run up the middle more. He's going to be more of an every down back.
I mean, this is his year to earn a contract. This is it for him.
But if he can move like the balance and the movement that he was when he was thinner, with all that beef on him, he very well could be the best running back.
But when does that happen, Jeff? When does a guy who has the skill set that Kamara has, and then adds another 15 pounds, and all of a sudden he's every bit as nimble, but now he's a power back as well? I mean, my point is
Marshawn Lynch comes to mind.
Really? See, now and I wouldn't be able
to. Not later Lynch. The Lynch that ran 60 yards on the Saints in the playoffs.
Hey, we don't talk about that.
All right.
See, my concern would be is that Kamara is now trying to transform himself into a back that won't be as good. And that's my biggest concern, because he might come out and he'll be more durable, but he's not the guy that slips, tackles, breaks, spins, does all the things in space. I would rather have a Kamara that is a playmaker like he was the last 2 years prior to last year, and let Murray take the load in the middle, take the pound and right up the middle, No, nothing on that. No, just me.
Yeah. I was letting it go. I didn't know where. We're trying to get on the radio, Dave.
He fits in perfect.
Right.
I'm trying to fit in, man. We have to find a balance here.
He takes right. All right, so he's taking the pounding up the middle. All right.
And look, I agree with that. It's the question of, is Peyton going to, we thought that was going to be the case last year, and I know, Peyton just seems reluctant to give – the two games that Murray had to start, he went over 100 yards each game. It, for some strange reason, Peyton's not comfortable letting Murray
present
take 15 carries a game, even with Kamara in the game.
No, it's contract basis. You know, there's so many things that we don't know about that goes into the decisions. But to your point, Dave, just to play devil's advocate, because I more agree with you than disagree with you. But I will. My concern over the Kamara, the thinner, more agile hurdling Kamara than taking it up the middle Kamara, is that when you jump and you move like that, it does make you more susceptible to injury. Whereas if you just kind of, and I really honestly, I think he's probably getting himself bigger so that when he takes those hits, because when he goes up in the air, you're vulnerable, right? So I think if more than anything, he's trying to add padding, tissue padding.
They say NFL players, as their career progresses, they add a little bit more weight as they go on. And then they get to a certain point, then it goes down because they're trying to regain the speed.
Right.
The thing about it is, my point is, I don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows the answer. But based on 3 years, last year was – Kamara, who was playing the big running back, and it was not impressive. 2 years prior to that, Kamara consistently did things that made us say, oh my God, and I would rather have that guy. And the thing is, I get about the jumping, but how many times does that really happen? Because I'm more talking about run to a pile, spin, and all of a sudden here comes the balance, taking a hit and not going down.
Okay, yes.
Jumping through the air. I don't know if maybe that happens 5 or 6 times a year, you know, and maybe he should just cut that out. But and again, I don't know if there's an answer to this, but I'm thinking last year of being a every down back, I wasn't impressed. 2 years prior to that, I would rather have that guy who plays second and third down, runs the ball occasionally.
Okay, right. Then what you're saying, and actually I agree with, is Kamara is more valuable as an accent piece than he is the feature piece, right? I mean, right, he's not the every down back. Let Murray present be the every down back.
Well, and here's one more element, though, that we have saw, and it's not blatant, but it has progressively seemed like the Saints are turning into a more run-oriented team. So is it now where he's less valuable in that role? Because back in the day when you had a Reggie Bush, I mean, hey, yeah, I'm the third down back that played 65% of the snaps. You know, so it just depends. Maybe the team is encouraging him to bulk up.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know that.
That's what I was going to say. You know, it almost seems like it's part of a plan, being that Breeze is older, maybe not throwing as much and running more. So they want him to bulk up a little bit because he's going to be getting the ball more in between the tackles. Well, but and I think, like we said, you have Murray, you know, who could do that. So maybe they're just – I don't know.
I mean, he needs to get comfortable to give Murray the ball enough. I mean, you know, once Kamara got back healthy, it's like Murray's right there and – he'll get 5 carries. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. Now, the one thing I can say in terms of going to running team, you know, it seems like they probably saw with Breeze's injury where he missed those 5 or 6 games, and he was pretty damn fresh at the end of the season. So you got to think, being as old as he is, they, you know, obviously his days of chucking it up all the time are long gone. I think that's, you know, that's probably part of it too.
Are you trying to transition into a Taysom Hill conversation?
Ooh,
that would be Scott.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Just
wondering.
That's me.
So what's going to aggravate me, though, this year, this, like, the thing that's going to aggravate me the most this year is
all the lack of fans. But if there was a second,
right, is the all the people who have been saying things about Breeze's deteriorating arm strength or whatever.
Did you just say Breeze's?
Yes, I did. How all those people are going to, you know, be the whole "I told you so" crowd. And it's like, no, you can't say something for 10 years and then wait for it to be true and then say "I told you so." Okay, and now it's not some bold prediction. I mean, the dude's 42 43. What is he?
He's 41.
I always get confused. Is Breeze my age or not?
He's our age.
Yeah, that makes me feel terrible about the things that I've done with my life.
Look at what Breeze has accomplished. What have you accomplished?
Talking about Breeze.
So there's one thing you're better than Drew Brees at, and that's assessing the price of diamonds. Let's just use it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's a perfect way to kind of like, all right, do we have anything left on the Saints? Because we're going, this is long, and I know y'all still wanted to talk about other sports.
As is, of course, the tradition.
All right, let's do a quick Dome Patrol checkpoint just to see where everybody is. I don't think I've advanced, but I've completed one of the Mai Tai.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying you.
12% Mai Tais here.
Just one.
And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I got a drink till midnight, and it's 2 p.m., so.
You're not going to make it to midnight.
You're right.
No chance in hell.
Nope, I'm leaving Scott's at 7:30. We have to finish Absentia Season 3. All right, so, yeah, I'm probably a 1, maybe a 1.5. Jason, what are you?
I'm probably a 5. Still got my Cubs drink, yeah. I'm nearing the end of my Dr. Vonster.
Dr. Vonster. You have to say it like that. All right, Scott, checkpoint.
I guess I'll go with a 1. For now, yeah.
A 1.
Good. Pacing Dave, myself. It's going to be a long day.
Since we've been talking, I've been drinking a lot.
I'm trying
to fit in, bro.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's right. And James, I saw you hold up 4 bottles.
Empty. Nice. I've run out. Yeah, I'm a 6.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yes.
James so takes James, the lead.
You take the lead. That's right. All right. Wait a minute. So James and Jason are about to say some crazy stuff as we get into the Pelican Plug.
The game. Yeah. Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win.
Yeah. Pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass.
Pelicans winning the championship. Is that crazy enough for you?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, what you got to say about the Pelicans, Jason?
So the good news is, Zion left the bubble, the Disney bubble, last week to deal with a family emergency. The good news is that, you know, per the rules, if we were to get tested every day outside of the bubble and every test was negative, when he comes back in, he wouldn't be subject to the standard, I think it was a 14-day quarantine. So late last night, they announced he was back in the bubble last night. He tested every day, and every day he tested negative. So today, the NBA came out and said he only has a 4-day quarantine. So he has to stay in his room for 4 days straight. But the good news is, you know, that allows
him.
Look, he's, and that's the thing, it's, they're talking about, oh, this, right, like this bubble, oh, this, you're confining them to whatever. It's like, it's a Disney resort. Like, these aren't, they're not staying at the all-star hotels. They're staying at good, you know, resort hotels. This isn't.
Nothing wrong with the all-star.
All-star sports, that's where they all should have stayed.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
But the good news is, so today they came out and said he needs a 4-day quarantine, which started last night. So that will allow him to practice with the team starting Tuesday or Wednesday, and they are in the first game on July 30th, which is 5 days from now. So, you know, the one thing the Pelicans said was that because he hasn't been practicing with the team, they're kind of maybe worried about his endurance and his stamina, but as long as he can practice with the team once or twice, I gotta think he's gonna play the first game. But this is a really good sign that he's gonna be pretty much, you know, available, theoretically available for game one.
He wasn't exactly fighting fit when he came back the first
the picture that took the internet by storm, him in his mask, he had dropped. He dropped 15 pounds of fat and gained 10 pounds of muscle, I think was
off
the
his head?
I think was the language that they said. But I mean, he looked.
Remember that old joke from like when we were in grade school? How do you lose 15 pounds of fat? Cut off your head.
He looked to be in better shape, and even in some of the early practices before he left the bubble, he looked lighter on his feet. He was moving very well. So I think as long as I don't know what happened when he left the bubble, I would assume he still worked out, you know, and tried to keep in shape. But he, to me, I just think it's the best thing that he is available because, the Pelicans had their first scrimmage against Brooklyn the other night. Now, Brooklyn's decimated by injuries, but even a Pelicans team without Zion destroyed them by like 20, 30 points. So, I'm excited that Zion's back. I think the team's energized. The team is focused. To me, the Pelicans get the 8 seed. I just don't see how they don't.
Well, the NBA want them in the 8 seed, don't they?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you can get a first round series of the Pelicans and the Lakers, I mean, look, they put 6 Pelicans games are on national TV. 6 of the 8.
Why don't you explain for those who aren't experts in this stuff like myself how this is all working? Like, are they going straight to the playoffs? Is there going to be play-in games?
So they're
the Pelicans are going straight to the playoffs.
I'm an expert.
Okay.
But for the fans out there who may not understand all this.
So, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, the season ended in March, and there were about, I think, 18, 19 games left roughly for every team. Now – they only brought back 22 teams in the bubble, so the worst 8 teams are just not there. Their season's over. Now, the way they have it set up, because the Western Conference is so harder than the Eastern Conference, you know, they limited to whichever teams were within, I don't know, 5 or 6 games of the 8 seed as of the stoppage were allowed back into the bubble. So in the East, there's only one team. Like Washington is the only team outside of the 8 that got back in. Whereas in the West, you've got the Pelicans, the Blazers, the Spurs, the Kings. I think those are the 4 teams that were allowed in. And Memphis currently had a 3.5 game lead in the 8 spot. Now, some people will say, oh, that's because they wanted Zion back in. And I get it. But at the stoppage of the season, the Pelicans had the easiest schedule left of the season. And they had really started to click. So a lot of people just thought, well, the Pelicans were going to eventually take over the 8 seed anyway, just the way they were playing. Zion was back. So there are, you know, four extra teams
in the schedule then to try to meet expectation.
Well, the remaining schedule that we have of the 8 games, it's the easiest. People are like, oh, why did the Pelicans have the easiest schedule? Well, because we had the easiest schedule if the season never ended. But what happens is the teams in the 8 seed, you know, there's going to be a play-in.
Alexa did the schedule. So, I mean, don't be mad, you know.
But there will be a play-in between the 8, you know, at the end of the season, as long as whoever's the highest 9th-seeded team, as long as you're within 3.5 games of the 8th seed, there'll be a play-in. Now, the 8th seed, you know, it'll be a 2-game play-in. The 8th seed only has to beat the 9th seed once, and then they lock in the 8th seed. Whereas, let's say the Pelicans were the 9th seed and the Grizzlies were the 8th seed, we would have to beat them twice in order to advance to the playoffs to play the Lakers. So the Pelicans are currently 3.5 games back, and there are 8 games. Every team is going to play 8 games in the bubble. Now, you know, we play the Grizzlies. We also play a lot of the other Western Conference teams that we're fighting with. You know, we do play a couple. We start off with the Clippers and the Jazz, who are already firmly locked into the playoffs. But then all of our other games are against either the teams we're fighting for or some of the poor teams in the West. So there's a good chance that the Pelicans can go, you know, 5-3, 6-2, and at least guarantee the 9 slot, where they would then have to beat Memphis twice to earn the 8 seed to get into the playoffs.
So that's kind of where the first game is Thursday.
The Pelicans are the first game of the entire restart.
Right. Not just their first game, it is the first game of the NBA reboot at 5:30 Central.
Yes.
And that's 6:30 your time.
And we play the Utah Jazz. You know, they clearly want Zion. You know, the first game back on the is Zion. You know, the NBA clearly wants Zion in, but now that he's here, you know, we're as talented as a team as any of the ones fighting for that 8 seed. Now, yes, we're behind the 8 ball against Memphis, but there's no reason why the Pelicans can't go 6-2 and even, you know, not only secure the 9 seed, but even get to the 8 spot, I think. You know,
I saw something on ESPN a couple of days ago where it said that if you take the starting fives from all of the teams that are in the bubble, the Pelicans are one of the top 3 starting fives. Have one of the top 3 starting fives left.
When you look at, you know, once Zion came back and they had that starting lineup, you had Derek Favors in at center. You know, he missed some time during the year between injury and his mom dying. He missed time, and they struggled without him. But he's been back. J.J. Redick was injured when the season ended. Now he's back healthy again. Zion was a monster from day one. And the last 5 games before the break, Lonzo Ball was averaging like 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, he was playing at an all-star level. So the team, you know, it took him a while to get there. Zion missing the first 40 games obviously hurt. But now that everybody's back and this team, I mean, you can kind of tell, like, you know, I watched the scrimmage the other day. This team really feels together, really feels like they know their roles, and I just don't see how they don't earn that 8th playoff spot. I just don't.
And, you know, I will tell you this. Jason, you've spent years trying to get me to become a regular Pelicans fan / viewer.
Remember when we watched the playoff game against Portland when we won and you fell asleep on your couch?
That was different. I was tired.
Okay.
And
The game must have been past 7:30.
Thank you. I mean, so
it was a West Coast game.
Jason's taken me to multiple Pelicans. I love going to the games. Don't get me wrong, but it was always when they were on TV. It was hard for me to watch. And this, I will remember. Like, if of course it would be 10 years in the making, I finally get to the point where I put the whole calendar, the schedule in my calendar to alert me when their games are so that I could tune in. And I watched as much as, one can be expected to watch, I think.
You even bought a t-shirt.
I got a shirt. I went. I was all in. And they paid me for it. The Pelicans did. They made it worth my while by being good. Like, they were enjoyable to watch because I didn't start until December or January when they got
you waited until Zion came back.
I waited until Zion came back, right? Like every other fan, bandwagon fan there is. So, but of course, like for 10 years, I kept. I finally get into it. Boom! COVID-19 hits, and there's no basketball.
So now we know who to blame for COVID-19.
It's all me.
Classic Jeff.
So, but I will tell you, I'm as excited as the next guy for the return of Pelicans basketball, not NBA basketball, but for the return of Pelicans basketball. I'm excited to see what they're going to do because, yeah, you're right. All the guys on the team, again, talking about what we talked about before, the Saints roster, the Pelicans roster is a fun roster. It's a good roster. It's guys that are – they're all likable. None of them – none of the starters or even the rotation guys are like boneheads who come in and do stupid stuff, right? You don't complain about a lot of them.
Well, I mean, we do turn the ball over a lot.
That's kind of,
but there are a lot of young guys on the roster. But I mean, the one thing is that like Zion has been incredible from the get-go. I mean, he's only played 19 games, but he's averaging 24 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. But Zion is already a superstar in 19 games. You know, it took
and
Anthony
with him losing weight. With him losing weight, because that was the big thing when he came back.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't in shape when he started. Yeah. I mean, you could tell. But
he was like Fatty McGee coming up the stairs.
But it did take Anthony Davis 2 years to get to a point where, like, okay, he's a guy. But Zion, he's a guy,
instant guy,
from the jump. And like Brandon Ingram is an all-star and he's 22 years old. Lonzo Ball, 22 years old. And he's developing like what David Griffin has done. Sure, they lucked out into the number one pick with Zion. But the fact that, when we were forced to trade Anthony Davis, usually that's like the franchise would be set back for 3 or 4 years. You know, the haul that we got from the Lakers, in addition to getting Zion and some of the vet like Derek Favors and JJ Redick.
And I think Anthony Davis was not as good as he is talent wise.
And he's
not
great
the kind of guy that you really.
He's
not a likable guy. He's not a.
I mean, he's all right, but he's kind of a dud.
Yeah. Anthony Davis.
Well, he's I don't like duds. So there.
Anthony Davis is made of biscuits.
I don't know if that's a fair assessment of Anthony Davis, but in general, I think I feel what you're saying. There was something that just, like, it just didn't feel like a guy you could build your team around. But to say he was a dud, I think that's a bit of
personality-wise, right. Like as a basketball talent, he's a top five in the league. Like he is a freak. He is a
personality
great basketball player. But like, could he be the number one, like, leader on your team, like, hey guys, I got
this. I agree with that.
I never thought he necessarily had that.
It's no Drew Brees.
I always use this analogy when I played basketball. And I'm talking about pickup games.
I was gonna say you play basketball.
Yeah, but you get this guy, and he's a super athlete. He's long, and he's like, how you pick. I got this guy. You got that. And then he's like the third guy. And then he gets all the putbacks, all the rebounds, runs the court. The next time you play the next day, you pick him first. Mm-hmm. And he's just not – like, as long as there's two other guys that can kind of really handle the load, and I might be exaggerating a bit, but that's how I feel about him, is that as long as he has that team around him, he's dominant. Like, you can't – oh, my God, it gets that. But if you say, hey, man, you're going to be the first guy.
Right, you're the guy.
And not
everybody can be the head of the table. I mean, look now with the Lakers. Yeah, he's had a great season, but he's got LeBron. Like, LeBron's clearly the number one guy.
So there you have it. We won that trade.
Getting Ingram and Lonzo, I think, are gonna be all stars. We got Josh Hart, who is an incredible, six man. In addition to all the draft picks that we got from the Lakers, like yes, they got Davis, yes, but you know, if you look like Ingram and Lonzo getting out of the LA spotlight. And getting here, and now it's like, dude, we get to play with Zion. Like, that's the best part about this team is that why I think they can stay together. You know, at some point, we're going to have to, like, Ingram's going to get a big contract this offseason. Lonzo's going to be next season. But, man, it's like, we get to play with Zion, you know? Like, I think they realize how good they have it. And the majority of this team, outside of a few veterans, they're all 23 years or younger. Like, the Pelicans are set up to be good for a while.
Now, you like our coach? Or are you keeping Gentry?
I mean, I think because of COVID, I think he gets his job next year. I'm not sold on him.
Seems like every year there's an excuse for him.
Yep.
Although this year, I mean, the whole country has an excuse this year. It's a little different this year.
Well, and Grant, but here's the thing. I mean, once Zion came back and they were playing well, even before COVID hit, like, they were winning.
Yeah.
To the point where you didn't necessarily have a case to fire Gentry.
There were some games where he did some stupid shit.
I mean, look, we still lost games that they shouldn't have lost. We still turned the ball over way too much, and I think that's part of Gentry's.
But isn't that execution? I mean,
that's coaching too, buddy.
What system do you put in place?
Are we losing the balls because people are dribbling, or are we losing the balls because we're passing too much?
No, everybody's passing too much. He's like, oh, I'm going to pass. Why are you passing?
You're right. I do remember watching a few games. Right. I'm like, what is this, like, Harlem Globetrotters?
They're right at the rim, but they're going to kick it outside, and then he passes it, and he turns it over. Like, just go for the layup.
Everything seems to be done in a rush.
They want to be the fastest paced team in the league, and they're young enough and they can do that, but will that work
apparently
in the playoffs?
They can't because they
well but it look it can work in the regular season. I mean, Houston's proved that it doesn't really work when you get to the playoffs. Now, we haven't had a lot of playoff experience yet, but that's where it's going to come into. Is that something that, you know, you could be a good regular season team with this roster we have? At some point, they need to win a championship.
Yeah.
Like, I fully expect this core, if you can keep Lonzo, Ingram, and Zion together, they should win multiple championships. They just should. I know, I'm using my hands a lot. I don't know what to do with my hands.
No, I'm giving you the symbol. Let's wrap up.
Okay.
So in the NBA, just quickly, and in the NBA, rookie contracts are what, 5 years, 4 years,
I think it's four, but then you can do your initial rookie extension, and the way it works is that the team that drafts you can offer more money. So usually good rookies like Davis, they'll sign their first rookie extension, and they'll stay with the team. So we should have Zion for a minimum 7 years.
Right. Okay.
Ingram is up on his first extension. Lonzo will have his first extension next year.
So you still got 3 years of Zion, 2 years after Zion.
Right. Before we have to pay him. Yes. Yes.
So Jrue Holiday's got to be in danger of.
Well, he's got one more year on his deal. Now, when we re-sign him, I mean, because he's over the age of 30, I would prefer to keep him. Just because I think he's still that good, what will he do? What will he want? You know, is he? I would hope he's willing to take a pay cut, but you never know. But then, and again, like, what's the salary cap going to be with all the lack of fans? I mean, that's kind of, you know, we talked about that with the NFL. The NBA is going to be, I would think, in a similar spot, and we just don't know at this point.
All right, that's enough of Pelicans talk. Let's jump over to very quickly, fast pace, other sports that.
Hello. Hi. Do you want to go to a party with me?
No. The game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl. We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football. Tennis.
Hockey.
Golf.
The game is starting. Everyone is here. I got my snacks, my friends, and a beer.
Just two normal guys hanging out, having fun. Right, guy number two?
Yeah, guy number one.
E
to the S
to the P
to the N is all I watch, cause I'm the man.
If my team loses, I'll be mean all night. If you tell me to relax, we'll get in a fight.
Watching sports with girls is a pain. They don't know the rules, there's no time to explain.
Single,
double,
triple,
home run.
started up. What is it? Baseball, Scott? You care about that, don't you?
Opening weekend, baseball.
Baseball. Yeah, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Cubs started 1-0, won last night. They're playing right now. I don't know what the score is, but
I'll tell you.
But I mean, the fact that like I actually watched SportsCenter last night, and there were just all these highlights of baseball games. Like, what's going on?
Chicago's losing 6-3.
Damn it!
Yeah, I thought they were losing.
Is that the White Sox or the Cubs?
That'd
be hilarious. Oh, God, I wish it was the White Sox.
It's mid sick. The White Sox are winning 1-0.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
If I button hooked you on that.
I'm a Braves fan. They lost last night, but it was 1-0, so it was a close game.
Whoa. Oh, did you just say you're a Braves fan?
Get out of the car. You're out. Yes, no, Atlanta. No.
Right?
I left just my former job because it was headquartered in Atlanta, okay?
Didn't you get fired? No, I'm joking.
Son, just know.
I am a Braves fan. Sorry.
That's it. Wow.
Oh, we're going to have to unpack that later. All right.
Yeah, okay. We are, yeah. That needs a little more investigation, I think.
Definitely.
Wait until Ash hears this.
Right. Well, Scott, you're on probation is what that is. Actually, you know, Dave's here to replace you. We found out that you were a Braves fan. Nice.
You know, Jason talked about how he became a Cubs fan because there were games were always on WGN. Well, much like that, the Braves games were always on TBS.
Yeah.
So
they were. I mean, look, I watched a lot of Cubs and
so
a lot of Braves.
You're the one guy
Braves
in
games
New Orleans
growing
that watched.
Well, no, I mean, back in the 90s, man, the Braves were freaking hot.
Well,
Maddox, John Smoltz, you know.
But like I even remember, and look, I'll say this: I remember watching the games in the Braves games in the 80s with the old powder blue uniforms and Bob Horner and Dale Murphy. I mean, there were a lot of Braves and a lot of Cubs games on my household back in the 80s. So, I mean, there's a lot of people here that are Braves fans, Jeff.
Man, let's just say you chose the right team, though, Jason. You chose the right team to support, not the wrong one.
Right.
Wrong city, just, you know, good team. If it makes you feel any better, they were originally the Boston Braves. Does that help any?
Just stop. Just stop.
You're digging yourself into a deeper hole here.
I like the Orioles,
so Patriots too.
I like the Orioles too. That makes
sense. Okay, that's better.
All right. Yeah, the Orioles are terrible. Nobody's worried about
that. I'm not a big baseball guy, so for me, this doesn't.
I'm more into college baseball, honestly, than I am to.
Right.
Major League baseball.
Speaking of Scott, LSU gymnastics update.
They're about to be starting up practice soon, training and stuff soon.
Has there been any announcement by the SEC on college football?
Not yet. No, some other conferences have said they're going to do the conference only schedule. And even some have said they're going to do like a plus one, where like they'll allow like one non-conference game. So that's the big thing with Texas. You know, like, are we going to still have the game with Texas this year? We don't really know yet. The SEC
we would play one non-conference and then play the SEC schedule?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And would that happen starting when it would like? Instead of starting in September, we're starting in October kind of thing?
I don't know if it'll be
the kind of dates.
It may not be that late, but instead of starting like Labor Day weekend, it might start mid-September. But I don't know. They haven't
First time ever, the NFL would actually start before college.
Yes, but they haven't.
And then you remove 3 or 4 weeks of college. I mean, you talk about there's, what, 3-4 games of non-conference play?
Yeah. We would get like McNeese State and North Texas.
All that's out.
You know, all that's out. So,
which the irony is those have the least amount of fans at them.
So, yeah, they haven't announced anything yet, so we're still kind of in a waiting game. Just because every conference is different. There's no uniform voice, you know?
So, so here's a question then. Overall,
The second game of the year, LSU's playing Texas. That was what was scheduled.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're not going to have that first game to kind of get loose, you know.
To preseason, you know, have no preseason.
Yeah, I mean, they play 3 games, and then so they have UTSA, which I don't know what the hell that is.
That's where Marcus Davenport.
University of Texas,
San Antonio. Yep.
But it's
then Texas, then Rice, and then they start Ole Miss. You know, they start with the SEC schedule. So,
but being a money-driven sport. And the SEC even being money-driven, everything's money-driven, I guess. But there's no way in hell we don't go through the fall of 2020 without college football. There's just no way it happens. I'm sorry. They will find a way to make –
They have to because
there's
football makes too much money for our university.
For everything.
And I mean, it's not just, I mean, the smaller universities, their whole athletic program will just disintegrate because it pays for all the other sports, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and that, well, I
two
think
years ago, LSU hosted, what's the name of the university in Hammond? Southeastern?
Southeastern, yeah.
Yeah. So they hosted them and they paid them, was it?
Oh, yeah. Two, any small team
$2.5
they play like
million
that,
dollars
they,
or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. That
any small
that
team like that.
Southeastern
they play
for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Mm.
It funded everything.
No. Go Lions.
Scott. But yeah,
that's
I mean,
where all my family went.
I went there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yep. Graduated from there.
I'm a Northwestern alumni, so
12 years.
We get a good couple of million
Strawberry,
from LSU.
Strawberry Field, is that what the stadium's
yep.
called?
Strawberry, yep. Strawberry Stadium.
Yeah, that's where all my relatives went. Yeah.
That's because them Ponchatoula strawberries are the best
right.
in the world.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't see any way that you don't have college football this year. They're going to find a
well,
way.
Well, there's way too much money involved because college football
yeah.
– Right, yeah, it funds the entire athletic department.
Right. That's what we were just saying while you were gone. All right, so any final thoughts? We'll start with you, James.
I'm annoyed I ran out of beer half an hour ago. Could have done with drinking some more. I may go and
do
that.
Oh, wait, I thought you got a delivery this morning.
No, I did, but they're all downstairs in the garage. I'm upstairs.
Right.
Yeah, I'd only brought four with me.
I'm going to start calling it the garage and see how long it takes my wife to slap me.
I do it all the time.
Right.
I mean, look, I muted and went downstairs and fixed a new drink
yeah,
and came upstairs.
Right, I'm just going to say one thing, right? You speak my language. Just remember that, okay?
But we fixed it.
English.
Just no, remember, you'd be speaking German if it weren't for us. So,
to be honest, I like the sound of garage better. I don't know why. I'm not making fun of it. I like it.
Yeah. I like it.
Garage though seems a little more French influenced, right? It's the garage. Yeah.
And nobody wants to speak French, believe me.
I don't know. We're French. Hold on,
right?
We're of French descent.
Yeah,
yeah. Jason and I's family come from France,
right?
Yeah. Oh well,
There's actually a city in France named Montague, France.
Town in Louisiana called Montague.
That's right. Yeah, when we Montagues move into other places and we establish, we name it after
right.
ourselves.
It's one of the most famous
conquerors
in
like
the
that.
French Renaissance period. Montague, isn't it?
Yep.
Renaissance?
From the Renaissance period.
Oh, that's why I married a Renee.
There you go.
Renaissance to Jason. You know what Renaissance to Jason?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we're going down a dark hole.
Oh, we lost
let's not,
right?
Let's not,
we're going down a glory hole here.
let's not say that. Hey, do you know what? Right, sorry. Randomly going off topic.
Right, right. Hang on. Reset. James, do you have any final thoughts?
Look, season's here. We haven't really had much to talk about. The schedule's been thrown off because of COVID. All right, obviously COVID's still here, but, you know, we've got things to talk about now. The season's here. Although, ironically, the Premier League season football actually finishes tomorrow, which is a bit of a shame. But, you know, it'll be back soon. But, yeah, so the Premier League and the NFL, the season restart on the same weekend in September.
Wow.
Wait. So the Premier League stops, it's finishing soon, and then it's restarting like 2 months later.
So it's finishing tomorrow, so the last game tomorrow, and then it's restarting on September the 12th.
Oh, wow. And it would have finished a lot sooner, but
so
COVID-19.
It would have finished May 15th,
okay.
I think, it was supposed to finish.
Okay.
And then
so
it usually starts second weekend in August, usually starts.
Can we expect a Dome Patrol Premier League finale
tomorrow
episode?
Oh,
tomorrow
from you and Ben.
Not Ben. Ben's working, so it's me and my friend Chris who is joining
tomorrow. What
the hell,
Ben? What kind of job does he have?
Yeah, well,
one where he works a lot. Apparently, he works too much.
Yeah, he does. He works long shifts, and he claims he's keeping the country safe, but I don't believe him.
Because it's not safe.
If your country's relying on Ben,
fair enough. Ben, we do look forward to your triumphant return. We miss you. We miss hearing your voice on the show, and we know
we miss seeing you in your
when
room.
You're finished when you're finished working and you'll have time for the podcast, you'll be back. All right. Scott, final thoughts.
You know, kind of to echo what James said, you know, I'm just happy, you know, some stuff's coming back. Pelicans will be starting up soon. Training camp opens next week. Baseball's on. You know, UFC's been kind of going. It's one thing we kind of – a sport that's been going a while that we didn't really talk about. They've kind of been doing well. There's some fights tonight. So, you know, they're having fights almost every weekend from the Fight Island.
One of the English guys is fighting tonight, isn't he? Darren Till.
Yes, he is.
Oh, and quickly, I know we're not – sorry, you made me think of something. And it's not UFC, but is Mike Tyson really getting into the ring?
He's coming back against John Jones.
Roy Jones. Roy Jones is UFC.
Okay, whatever.
Roy Jones Jr.
Oh, so it is a good UFC reference or segue.
He looks like a beast, man, Tyson. I've seen some training videos.
Do you remember, was it you that shared it, Scott, where Tyson was doing this interview and he was like actually crying while he was talking about how if he's not boxing, he doesn't know what to do with his life and he's not happy if he's not fighting?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I shared that video, but.
Well, I saw it. So it doesn't surprise me that he's going to get back in the ring or B, in fighting shape.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, there's money to be made. Like, even a 53-year-old Mike Tyson, people want to see him. People will pay to see him.
Wants and needs money.
Right? But like, people will pay to see him. And
he's got that hangover money. He's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, right? Yeah, I mean, he looks like a beast. I mean, he really does.
Okay.
But other than that, just looking forward to some sports and getting started. So.
All right. Jason, final thought?
Yeah. Happy to have baseball back. Happy to have the NBA, the Pelicans next week, training camp. And golf is still going. We got the WGC next week and then the first major of the season, the PGA Championship, in 2 weeks. Be excited.
I agree. All right, and we lost Dave. I was going to give Dave his final thought, but he looked like he dropped off before we get to him.
His final thought is bye-bye, donkeys.
Lovers should use glory holes to have sex during the pandemic, says official advice from The Mirror. I guess that's a UK thing, eh, James?
The UK newspaper. Yeah, that's what I was going to say before when you mentioned glory holes. They actually came out and said that people should have sex with using glory holes.
So they're suggesting that married couples, even, should put a wall between themselves, cut a hole in it, and that's how they should have
relations. As long as you're wearing a mask, you're good.
As long as there are no rat traps.
But isn't the fact that you are exchanging bodily fluids negate whether or not there's a wall between you?
I think it depends what orifice you
Is it a real wall or an emotional wall?
That's a good one to end on. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US or Dome Patrol UK. Follow on both. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there's always Dome Patrol Podcast.
Back out.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, no live sports donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation. Rest in peace, Regis. Keep my feet on the ground.